If it feels like we're rushing, we are. I feel that as well. Go back and study these things. But I do want to get to God's commands for church life. There are two commands that Paul gives that stand in contrast to each other, and you won't see the contrast at first, but I want to explain it to you. Verse 19 says, "Do not put out the Spirit's fire." Verse 20 says, "Do not treat prophecies with contempt." And these two commands balance each other out. The first one on your outline, number 13, "Do not put out the Spirit's fire." Be glad we don't have a lot of time here. I could go for a while on this one and then hand it off to somebody else, and they could go for a while on this one. We could stay here all day. Let me just ask this. Is there any fire here at all? And if not, why not? And what happens when somebody comes in with fire? We call out the wet blanket committee and say, "Oh, we don't do that here." You know? Some of you are laughing. I think sometimes we reflect our heritage that says, how am I doing? Okay. Some of you know, who is it that says, "You know what, had an emotion once, didn't like it, don't ever plan to do it again"? Scripture says don't put out the Spirit's fire. When someone comes in and they're on fire, we either stay away from them or get the wet blanket and try to put them out. Let me suggest a different approach. Get close enough to them that maybe you'll catch fire as well. That's what we'd like to see happen. Now look at verse 14. How do these two relate to each other? First of all, if the Holy Spirit's doing something, let him. Now, let me say up front, we're not charismatic, okay? Capital C, or most of the time even small c. But a little bit more would be nice. You were close this morning, though. I'll give you that. You were in the right direction. But it also says, don't treat prophecies with contempt. And here's what I think Paul was saying. If you read the book of 1 Corinthians, you find out that the Corinthians had a problem. They wanted the show. They wanted the flash, and they wanted the glitz. And so when somebody said, you know, "We've got a miracle," they were going, "Oh, we love miracles. We got a healing. Oh, we love healing. We love it when God heals. You know, we got somebody speaking in tongues. Oh, that's cool." And somebody say, "I have a word from the Lord." They go, "Oh, that's no fun." See, their prophecy is not just predicting the future. Prophecy is saying, "Thus saith the Lord." And every time we open God's word and study it, we're saying in this book, it's "Thus saith the Lord." This is what God says. And we have a tendency to want things that are flashy, to want the excitement, to want the emotional rush. And when somebody's just stand up there preaching the word of God, we say, "Well, okay, that's good too." But what Paul was saying, don't put out the Spirit's fire, but don't treat prophecies with contempt either. See, I don't believe we're getting new revelation. I believe God has given us the book. He's written down everything that he had to say, and it's in there, and we need to study it. But I believe we're getting additional insights into God's revelation, but not new revelation. And so when we stand up and we teach God's word and we preach God's word and we say, "Thus saith the Lord, and here's what you need to do about it," maybe that doesn't get your emotions going. Maybe that's just for your mind, but we need to do it. Let the Spirit's fire burn, absolutely, but not to the extent that we start ignoring God's word. This is a church about Scripture and about the Bible, and that's where we want to be. Because notice what it says next. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Verse 21, but test everything. Everything that happens in the church, test it. And when you test it, if it's good, hold on to it. If it's evil, get rid of it. Avoid every kind of evil. That verse sometimes is translated, avoid all appearance of evil. And I don't think that verse means don't do anything that anybody might possibly think looks like it might be bad. I don't think that's what that verse means. I think it's for evaluating in the context, the things that are going on in the church. And you're testing everything. And when something passes the test and it's good, you hold on to it. When you test everything and some things just don't come up to the standard, then let them go. And let them go. How do you test things? Let me give you two tests. There may be more than these, but I'm sure about these two. The first test is the Berean test. Most of you know what the Berean test is. You go back and you study your Bible and you say, is what's happening in our church, does it measure up to what God's Word says? That's the Berean test. If it does, you keep it. If it doesn't, let it go. I think there's another test, and this is the fruit inspector test. Does it produce godly results? Does it produce the fruit of righteousness? Does it produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Does it produce spiritual fruit? Does it make me feel good? But when I look at the results of what's happening, is it producing spiritual fruit? If it is, hold on to it. If it isn't, we'll let it go. But you all have the responsibility to test everything that happens in connection with this church. Hold on to the good and avoid or let go of the evil. We're going to move outside for a little groundbreaking service. And you know what? We're going to be talking over the next couple months about the building. We're going to be talking about finances. But remember that what's out there is a container for something very valuable, something very worthwhile. And that is the ministries of the church. And it's the ministries of the church that we want to focus on, relating to each other and relating to God Himself. Scripture's clear about how we're supposed to respond to each other, and it's clear about what the church is supposed to be doing, and we're going to review that in the coming weeks. But as we go outside, let me give you just a little bit of rejoicing, celebration. This is a good time. I'd much rather be building a building than closing one. I've done that in my ministry, and it's exciting. But remember in 1 Peter, the church is built of living stones. And as we go outside, we're gonna have bricks and mortar out there. That's not what builds the church. The church is built up of living stones, and that's you. And that's me. And we're committing ourselves to a project, but we're committing ourselves. Let's have a word of prayer. And then I'll ask you to go out. If you've got kids, remember to go ahead and pick them up and get them with you. And then we'll go outside. We'll form a circle. You'll see the tape out there. And we'll form a circle around the outline of the building. And we'll pick up our service there. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we get to do this, that we get to study your word, that we get to be challenged by it, that we can be encouraged or rebuked by what it says. Lord, thank you for anticipation. Thank you for excitement. Thank you for the work that you are already doing here, and thank you for the vision for additional ministries. Thank you, Lord, that we get to break new ground, not just in building, but in our own lives. Thank you that we can do this together. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's meet outside around the building.